Good morning once again. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. I hope everybody is revived in spirit and ready to hear the word of the Lord this morning. And the title of our message this morning is A Lesson in Humility. And if you don't think this is a message for you, you really ought to pay attention, special attention this morning. So our scripture text is taken from the Gospel according to Mark. Mark chapter 9 and verse 35, which reads, "And he sat down, called the 12 and said to them, 'If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all.'" Now, in our Bibles, nothing that is said independently of anything else. So when reading such statements, we do well to bring in the immediate context and the overall context in which the statement was made. In today's vernacular, we might say that we begin with the backstory, right? Probably heard that term. Here's what happened, and here's the backstory. Here's what led up to it. Well, the backstory in the immediate context is that of the two verses which precede our text. "Then he," that is Jesus, "came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, 'What was it you disputed among yourselves on the road?' But they kept silent. For on the road, they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. The disciples had seen Jesus transfigured on the mount. They knew by faith that they would receive a place in God's kingdom, that they would, save one, have a specially honorable place in the Messianic kingdom. And this was further validated by the words of Christ, who said, 'Assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel.'" So here that term, the regeneration, is synonymous with Christ's thousand-year Messianic kingdom on earth. But this was not enough for the disciples. Every one of them, they wanted to be number one. Each one of them wanted to be the greatest. And when Jesus called them out for their selfish and ambitious thoughts, we read that they kept silent. See, the disciples had been exposed for seeking their own self-exaltation. Have you ever had a thought where, gee, I would probably be a better person to do this or that? Or, I don't understand why I wasn't picked, because I'm better than that guy. Maybe remember when we were kids, and we'd be playing sports, and you'd pick this one and that one, and maybe you were left out, and you were kind of one of the last ones who were picked. And you said, gee, you know, I thought I was the greatest ball player, so I don't understand what's up with these guys. Well, we all have these thoughts, or have had these thoughts, from time to time, and when we really think about it, when it comes to our attention, it's pointed out that maybe we weren't so great as we thought we were. So when we're the last one who's picked for the basketball game, and there we are, left at the end, and we thought we should have been picked first. So we're calling for the ball, and finally throws us for the, you know, so somebody finally passes it to us, you know, and it's an air ball, and it ends up, you know, on the side, and we end up losing the game for our team. And, you know, and then we realize, boy, you know, maybe I wasn't quite as good as I thought I was. I'm sure this is not true for any of you, but for me it was. Now, The disciples had been exposed to seeking their own self-exaltation. They had taken their eyes off the Savior, and they were focusing upon their own glory. They had forgotten what was written in the Psalms, that the humble say, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord. If each of us here has the singular goal of glorifying our great Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ, then each of us shall do much for His kingdom. But it is human ambition, self-exaltation, and agendas that wreck our fellowship and limit our witness. Now, we talked before about the backstory, and so we've got the immediate backstory that we covered. But there is quite a backstory to this from the Old Testament book of Proverbs. Proverbs has a lot to say about pride and humility. And if you want to be smart, set down the worldly wise men textbooks for a little while and get into this book, get into the Bible. Read the book of Proverbs and you will understand wisdom. Consider these seven sayings. By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. Interesting that idea of pride and strife and the connectivity between the two keeps coming up. A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. Jesus told a parable at a later point in his earthly ministry on this very same subject of humility. See, as the sin of pride is common to every man, it is necessary to allow God to keep it in check. So he told a parable to those who were invited when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, when you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, give place to this man. And then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. And then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Let us now refresh our text in its context. And then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, what was it you disputed among yourselves on the road? But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. And now let us continue to the object lesson contained in the following two verses. Now that we've got the backstory, Let us understand what Jesus is trying to teach us. And then he took a little child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." These children were pleased to simply be received by Christ. They had no desire to raise up themselves or diminish the standing of others. And that's what pride does. When one cannot raise themselves up sufficiently, they begin knocking everybody else down to try to knock them down a couple of pegs so that they will take the highest place by default. Now, we have a saying in our church that children are God's favorite people. And this is because they are presented in the Bible as relative innocents. We read in the Law of Moses, "Moreover, your little ones and your children, who you say will be victims, who today have no knowledge of good and evil, they shall go in there." That is the promised land. "To them I will give it, and they shall possess it." And again, "And all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him, for he," the child, "is the only one of Jeroboam who shall come to the grave, because in him there is found something good toward the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam." So here we read in two different passages in the Old Testament scriptures of the relative innocence of children. We have a doctrine taught in the scriptures, and I'm not going to get too heavy into this morning, but I would refer you to the website, Articles and Topics, The Eternal Destiny of Baby Doe. And if you're not a web person, ask me, I'll get you a copy. And we can demonstrate from the scriptures that those who have no knowledge of good or evil, who don't have an understanding of sin and repentance, are actually among those whom God has elected. And God has to elect them because they were born with the sin nature. Even that beautiful baby who comes here every week, he's a beautiful baby, but he's a sinner. I know, it's hard to believe, but the scripture says it. So we got to take it in faith. You might not even like it, because we don't like to think of babies as sinners. We like to think of babies as cute little innocents. But no, they're born into the world, and you like to think their first word is going to be mama or dada, but usually it's no. So let us learn, friends. Notwithstanding the sin nature of the beautiful little baby, let us learn to be childlike in our faith and be willing to associate with those that the world esteems as lowly. And then we shall be set in our proper place, and we shall know humility and its rewards. And so, friends, do you need any more? Do you need any further examples to teach you humility? Well, we would suppose that none of us would need further evidence than this. We would think that perhaps we have heard enough, but Jesus knows better. Because though we can hear all these things, though his disciples even knew all these things, they still didn't get it. So maybe neither have we. And so, the scripture records that in the upper room on the eve of his crucifixion, Jesus did the unthinkable. He did that which would be usual for a bond slave, the lowest of slaves. And perhaps we could imagine some of us common folk even stooping to do such a thing. But the Lord of the universe, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." And then Simon Peter, all of a sudden he changes his tune. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. And therefore, he said, "You are not all clean." So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. And most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." That's a big problem these days. A lot of folks, a lot of Christian folks know a lot of things, but they don't do them. Let us each take our own inventory when it comes to that. Remember when I first became a Christian, I couldn't get enough of the scriptures. I was reading the scriptures 24/7. I got my commentaries, all this stuff, totally all in with the Lord. And then it started to come to me as I was reading the scriptures that I had a lot of knowledge, but I wasn't doing too much of the things that were in this book. And so I had to be careful to read the scriptures, not only as an intellectual exercise, but as a way of life. Let us all be careful to do the same. There are few things more dangerous than somebody who knows the scriptures and lives contrary to them. And so today, getting back to the topic at hand, we see that the most humble man to walk the earth is Jesus Christ. And the most humble man to walk the earth is now the most exalted. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of your Son, Jesus Christ, who humbly came and did what he had to do, that we could be sitting here today enjoying fellowship and communion with you in prayer. Lord, may we look at that example and never think more of ourselves than we ought to. May we seek to raise up others and not ourselves, knowing that in the end, you who judge all the earth, will judge rightly and dispense rewards according to our obedience to the spirit of the law of Christ. We pray that you will continue to revive each and every one of us in spirit, and we pray that you will oversee that your Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, will be our worship leader for the remainder of this service. And as we go about our business today, in Jesus' name we pray, amen.